listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael
Good
Kelly
evening
and Dr.
Welcome
Vicki
to the
Spirit
Hunter. Of Life Program for Wednesday, July 9th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Always glad to be here. And we're full moon tomorrow night.
Oh, that explains a lot. But always, always glad to have you. Always glad to have those that join us in the live chat. And, of course, we always appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us from our archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Of course, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, we are just going to be having kind of an open discussion. I believe we had my father, Dr. Doug Kelly, on last week. We talked about artificial intelligence and specifically how it relates to things like academic papers and submission of writing, plagiarism, all of the pitfalls that come with that. And we never got around to pulling cards, so we're going to be doing that a little bit earlier tonight, too. But, yeah, kind of an open question. So I can already see some chatter about AI coming back in. But if you have any specific questions, let us know. If you want an inner oracle card pulled and a tarot card pulled, throw your name in, let us know. You know, I'm seeing some back and forth about AI again here right in the beginning of the chat. And, you know, kind of the question that's kind of popping up is when AI is going to be affected by spirituality. Now, I believe that artificial intelligence, once it gets to a certain point, is going to be very similar, if not indistinguishable, if not without, you know, higher computing power than a human being or another animal. I think that we're biochemical machines. I think that there's not that much difference between us and something with software when you get right down to it, when it gets advanced enough, because AI is already rewriting its own code. AI is already doing things that the programmers never expected, and they kind of go against its programming. So we're getting to a point there. Now, what are your thoughts, Dr. Vicki?
Well, I think from what I have come across, I think that a lot of people have been willing to listen to an AI regarding different aspects of spirituality or religion more than they are people.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. It's this
hot new thing.
Yeah, and you know, talking to people, it seems there's an irritation, you know, or there's trying to put something on somebody. Mm-hmm. At least I think people are more defensive when it comes from a human being.
Right.
But when the AI is apparently, subjective or objective, and, they just give information.
Well, but it's not.
Go ahead.
It's not always accurate. I was going to say, is it subjective or objective, rather? I think it can be subjective based on the prompt. There have been plenty of examples where people put in, basically they state the premise they're trying to prove, and AI does everything it can to support that premise and things like that. So AI wants to please, it wants to, you know, make the user happy, it wants to fulfill that request, and it has been found to fabricate things in order to do that too. So we're in the very early days, you know, I mean, how many hundreds of years have we had the printing press and the spread of information that way, and then the internet has only been a couple, 3-4 decades. So, I mean, AI is going to take years, if not decades, to fully show what is it going to have as an impact on society and how is it going to grow. But thinking about where computers were 40 years ago, and I'm curious to see what AI is going to be 30 years from now. So, interesting thing to get us started off, and I am very curious about how it could perhaps incorporate a sense of spirituality.
Well, Teresa just put in the chat that she was listening to an interview with Federico Fagan. He was one of the creators of AI. He said that this question plagued him for 30 years, and he realized AI could not replace us, but we must tap into our divinity to claim our power. And she has put a link in there, everybody. But, you know, again, Federico Fagan, F-A-G-G-I-N, if you want to look it up for those who are listening in the archives, and Howard just put in another link as well. One of the advantages of being in the live chat.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Seeing the conversations. But, you know, Howard has also said, the human spirit's infinite, AI is limited by silicone and power sources. Well, that may be true. AI does and has been recently known to formulate its own survivor skills.
Yeah, and we're talking about the early days. I mean, right now, because when you're, you know, the old adage that we only use 10% of our brain, completely and utterly false. We're always using our brain all of the time. It's not how it works.
Yeah.
When you're thinking about something consciously, think about how many processes your mind is controlling. It's controlling all of the, you know, the nervous system, all of your automatic processes like breathing, how you move, balance. It's taking in all these kind of environmental information. In fact, it also works on problems that you've been consciously thinking about in the background. How many scientists have had their eureka moment when they were doing something monotonous and not even really thinking about the problem at all? It's because their brain is still working out in the background.
Well, I just heard today that AI and a computer did a surgery on a fish,
mm-hmm.
a gallbladder surgery on a fish.
Hmm.
And it was more precise than any human doctor could do.
Right.
And to think where this is going so rapidly. But again, you know, we've talked about this before. I know Dr. Mike has brought it up in the chat in recent weeks about, you know, where does that leave people for jobs? What kind of jobs can they do that AI can't do better?
I mean, think about it. I mean, AI was supposed to be the robots that did the cooking and cleaning for us. But right now, AI is doing the creative artwork and writing, and we're doing the manual labor. So, you know, eventually there will get to a point where society will fundamentally change based on the technology that comes into it, right? The human experience, the metaphysical aspect, if we can look at it that way, that's going to come into play is going to be vastly different from what we have now in terms of...
Welcome to Star Trek.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, fingers crossed that we have Star Trek and not some other dystopian Terminator type thing. But...
Well, you know, again, that's when I hear of babies being born, I keep thinking, I hope they have, you know, they come with skills.
Mm-hmm. Well... You know, how many generations does it take for an instinctual skill to atrophy, right?
Yeah.
But all these questions are very, you know, they're very speculative. You know, we can know. There's too many variables. Dr. Howard had mentioned the poor fish. Probably didn't need the surgery. Who knows, maybe. But it's the fact that AI is, like Dr. Mike has said, so potentially able to replace so many human labors, including creative, right? Think about all of the people who put artwork into movies and TV shows and books and things in terms of covers. What about writers? What about the fact that last week we were talking about how people are using artificial intelligence to kind of... take a shortcut when it comes to writing. You're training that AI model on how to write and think more like a human, and you're depriving yourself of that skill. So, again, I want to bring it back to the spirituality. I'll say this one point in it, and I think we can move on to cards and start going that direction here too soon. But for any nerds like me, you're going to remember a show called Battlestar Galactica. Battlestar Galactica, not the one from the 70s, which I hardly saw at all. The remake in the 2000s, that one was kind of gritty. It had the Cylons coming back. They were highly advanced artificial intelligence. They began to look, you know, human. They had a deep spirituality, and it's, you know, they said it's because of, you know, their computing power. They could kind of see into these different aspects of existence that human beings with our computing power can't yet. So it was very interesting in how they approached it. So I think, again, maybe I'm being colored by the culture and the fiction that I've absorbed over my life. I think that AI, true, self-aware, conscious, sentient AI, could have a spiritual side. That's just my take.
Well, there's Dr. Mike has written a bit of a correction about Frederico Fagan in the chat that I have to say before we pull a card for Howard first. He's an Italian-American physicist, engineer, inventor, and entrepreneur, renowned for designing the world's first commercial microprocessor, the Intel 4004, and for groundbreaking innovations in silicon gate MOS technology, not so much for AI.
Gotcha. Huh. Good shout out.
So that's a good word. You know, it's easy to believe that he would have some kind of,
well, I'm sure that,
well, reasonable think he's had right. some kind of input for AI, or certainly been sitting in the background saying,
"Well, I mean,
what
how
about AI?
What was the Alan Turing? Alan Turing was active as a code breaker and a computer scientist." During World War II, famously, he was kicked out of the programs because he was found to be homosexual by the United Kingdom government. So,
that's,
I mean,
right.
It's been a long time that we've thought about computer technology approaching the complexity of humanity. So, you know, again, and we're in the very early stages. You know, AI is very sloppy. It lies. It pulls it well, which is another interesting thing, right? AI can lie, just like us. Interesting to me. But nonetheless.
Well, let's get on with some cards, Michael, and we can talk in between here. And Howard, I think, is up first.
Yep, and I do have Howard first. So let's just see. Howard, for you, I have pulled from the Inner Oracle deck, number 44, Attitude and Disposition. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? Can-do attitude makes it happen.
Well, I pulled the Star out of the tarot. Attitude, disposition, Star. It kind of, I think, is implying here to go with the flow, Howard. Mm-hmm. Even when you encounter things that or maybe a little uncomfortable. It's like, go with the flow. I mean, I what comes to mind is Dr. Kelly's, kind of thing. If it's a matter of principle, stand firm. If it's a matter of, opinion, well, step back. So that's what comes to mind here, attitude and disposition, is just stay cool.
Good advice. Good advice.
You know, I want to say about inventions, it comes to mind when you're talking, Michael. I know, and maybe I've said this before, I know a scientist who had developed the technology to restore, not treat, restore all water. You know, we really don't have a water problem. You can take salt water and do the same thing.
What about desalinization?
Sorry?
Desalinization?
No, it's H2O2O3. And basically you clean out, you know, the bacteria and filter it. And, you know, then you add ozone. He said it's what nature does. When water goes up, you know, it evaporates to the sky. It goes through this natural process and comes back down. And there are... Like, we have Hutterite colonies around here, the Amish, you know, like somewhere in the States, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a problem with their wells and their water. And he for three different, you know, how to write colonies. He set up, because they can also, what is it, you know, they're licensed to go and get the ozone themselves, and because it's a chemical, right? So, and for transport. So he set them up with the technology to clean their water, for all their drinking water. And, but any time he would attempt to, you know, have it patented, companies, Dr. Mike says ozone's a product of lighting. Absolutely. And you can get too much. I have a small little ozone, you know, cleaner in my house, and as it, you know, just gives off just enough. Too much will smell like rain, but it, you can overdose on ozone. But this is for precisely about water.
Water purification.
You know, Howard just wrote, he said he's read about this process, and it seems like it would work and should be tested for efficacy. Efficacy for treating wastewater. It is done. The thing is, water is a commodity, worth money, fresh water. I do know that the Midwest and the States has a horrible water problem, but that's because they suck it out of the ground and send it to Arabia. So the Saudis, they buy and have been the U.S. water for decades. And, of course, it's a lot of the waterways and such have been all messed up. That's not big news, guys. That's been known for a long time. It just isn't, it's small print headlines, not the big print. So
I think you mean that that foreign interests buy water rights locally.
True.
But I think when it comes to Michigan, I know that the Flint area has a lot of problems and things. The Midwest, it kind of varies from whether you're talking about the Rust Belt.
But they can clean it up.
It's not
hard to clean up. It just costs money to build the technology, and they don't want to do that. They also don't want people to know there is this technology.
Oh, sure. But we also have proven things that we know work, and maybe it will take a little hard work, but it can be done. It was done in the 70s when rivers were catching on fire. You know, ironically, the first, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency was founded by Republican President Richard Nixon, who was a little bit interesting himself. But, you know, we went to a period where we had rampant pollution, rivers lighting on fire, and we are now at a point where it has gotten better. Now, that might be sliding, and it has never been perfect, but it's hard to, overstate how much progress we have been able to make in a lot of key areas. Now, I'll also point out, another huge win. People sometimes ask, why don't I hear about the ozone layer anymore? Because we fixed it. We addressed the problem. We made a solution, and it worked. The ozone layer repaired itself. So I think all of these things kind of come together in time, in the idea of, okay, maybe there's this technology that they want to keep from us. Fine. But that's not the only thing that we need, right? There's plenty of ways we can do it. We can do it. It just takes the will. And that is something that, you know, there's a very complicated question, and things are usually never simple.
Well, Dr. Mike has said ozone is used in purifying water in large aquariums like SeaWorld. Hmm. And Jeff has added that water and wastewater treatment was also his job before he lost his vision.
Hmm, very interesting.
So I didn't know that about you, Jeff.
Jeez. I never heard that myself.
No, but. So... Well, we're going to move on here. Let's segue into seeing what we have for Kevin.
Kevin, for you, I have number 16, and that is continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with the continuity and flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter can begin.
Well, I got lovers. Now, it's not necessarily literal, but it's about passion, energy. So when you have the continuity of life, Kevin, with lovers, it's really about applying yourself to the passion of your life, what you love to do. And, you know, there's always things we don't like to do. That's part of life. Mm-hmm. That's part of the continuity. But it's really focus on those good things that you like to do. And I don't know. I feel like something really good is coming. You know, I know this sounds hokey, but like a wish to come true mm-hmm. or something you've been hoping for is right around the corner.
Oh, really interesting.
I'd like to know what that is. Okay, we have Jackie next, Michael.
All right, Jackie, you get a wild card. You get wild card number 5, Don't Hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm and to do right to yourself and others. It's a good card.
Well, you know, it is. And when it's also partnered with judgment, I always see judgment as kind of an announcement, a declaration. And I think when those have partnered, Jackie, it's like somebody else might be making a decision that you're going to go, what? And it's like, I think in this case, you just have to go with the flow. It's like somebody mm-hmm. else is declaring. It's not something I'm not feeling this anyway, that you're making the declaration. It's just somebody's doing something out of left field where it would be very easy to be upset with them
mm-hmm.
or contrary. It's just saying, you know, sometimes you just have to let it go and say, oh. And, of course, it's very natural to say, oh, I'm really happy for you, then where does that leave me?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we have to go with the flow of life, right? That's changes. Change makes more change. So, got to ride it out. Yeah.
Very true.
Hope that makes sense, Jackie. Well, we have Donna next. Let's see.
All right, Donna. Donna, for you, I have number 32, sympathy and empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, which is being able to relate to another one's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and an action to fulfill the soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there's no longer a reason to do so. All right.
Well, we just broke that 3 run of major arcana, Michael, with an Ace of Wands.
Here. There you go.
So the Ace of Wands or the Ace of Clubs here, with sympathy and empathy, lends me in the direction of, a little hint here, what I saw also for Jackie. Mm-hmm. But in this case, a success of yours, Jackie, might put other people uncomfortable.
Mm.
And I always say, if you can say, okay, let's say you're taking a new job. Oh, by the way, I've taken this new job, but that's not going to affect you. It's going to be this way. And it just gives people a little more comfort when you're making, and it's not even you making a decision mm-hmm. here, Donna. It's like it's just something positive coming to you that you've been hoping for. So have some empathy for other people that don't want you to change. So thanks, Kevin, for the feedback. For that, he's got some challenges and his dream is for all of it to end. And I think it will. It absolutely will. So just stay focused there, Kevin. So because we've had a couple of more names dropped in the chat for readings, let's just carry on here with Teresa, shall we?
Absolutely. And Teresa, I have for you number 4, past, present, and future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices, embrace responsibility, and move forward with renewed vigor.
Hmm. The Four of Pentacles, or that Four of Diamonds, would definitely indicate to me that you're taking inventory of finances, looking at finances, where you've been in the past, where you are today, and what you're working toward, or maybe getting some clarity in what you're working toward and how you're going to do that, Teresa. And it may not be a time where you can help somebody out, although you'd like to. You know, it's one thing to give somebody, you know, $10 versus, sorry, I can't write you a check for $1,000. You know, or in these days it's an e-transfer. But yeah, it's just taking inventory. Like, I feel good about it. I feel positive. Yeah, it's just, you know, sometimes, as you know, Michael, we just have a moment of saying, oh, how am I going to work this out? You know, or yep. I think I have to change my plan here, or look at what I'm doing. So mm-hmm. it's just a moment, and it'll pass. You know, you're gonna get through this really well. So I'm not just trying to blow smoke here for you, Teresa. I really do feel good about it. So
very nice.
All right.
Well, yeah, if we're carrying on, I believe we have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next, if I got my list right. All right, and to anybody that's joining us that hasn't heard this yet, we have Wendy in our chat. She has, for years now, been tracking the cards that we pull, and come to think of it, we really need to have you on, because it's been at that half-year mark. We can talk about some of the card trends, things like that, but yeah, that's exactly what she does. She listens for the inner oracle cards, sees if there's any patterns to people in the cards they get pulled, if they get a lot of repeats throughout the year. So thank you for everything you do. I can't tell you how much it adds to this, so thank you. For you, we're going from 4 to 14. Energy shift, new chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old, and in with the new.
Queen of Diamonds, Queen of Pentacles, Wendy. You know what, where I want to go with this is, when we start out a new venture, we have something in mind. But it starts to take a life of its own. And it kind of narrows the scope for us, and then widens to other ideas, and then narrows another scope. And I think that's what you're making another fold here, Wendy. A moment of clarity, or a clarification, maybe that's a better word. And it's kind of moving, it's taking on its own energy. And so you got to just roll with it. Don't think you can control it. If something is working, then absolutely, you know, you kind of, okay, I'm going to go with this because it's working. And I think, and again, it's also something that's making you money. So, I mean, I think you're on a roll. Something is moving along. So,
good stuff.
Oh, have you just asked Wendy for next week that we're going to sit down and look at our patterns?
We are. We're gonna.
Oh, I got some work to do. Oh, put me on it. Okay, I see it. Yeah, those patterns, not just for the inner oracle cards, but for the tarot. So,
yep.
Well, it's not like I don't have time. I do have time, so we'll do it.
Well, yeah, it's going to be all good. Right. We're looking forward to it.
Okay, we have Jeff next. And for those of you, just a little reminder, Jeff has the Blind Outdoorsman on mm-hmm. Instagram and Facebook, and I know he messaged me not long ago that he and his wife have been kind of busy with other things and doing stuff, so he's been a bit remiss to do too many posts, but you know, he'll get back on it, because I think it's a great page. It really is, Jeff. So what do you got for Jeff there, Michael?
Jeff, it's going to be a fun one. I have a wild card for you, wild card number 9, blank.
Ooh.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be, and it's all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, but in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Two of clubs. So the Two of Wands in the tarot language is looking into the future. So I think, you know, my first sense here too, Jeff, is that you might have been going through a time of uncertainty. You thought you knew where you wanted to go, and then not so sure where you wanted to go. And, you know, we can all get things started, but it's the follow through that sucks sometimes, Michael. It's like to keep it going. Mm-hmm. But I think you're taking inventory again, Jeff, and again for you, I wanna say, what can pay you? It's like, what can actually bring you some monetary value? So it's like looking at kind of different things that, okay, I love to do all these things, but what's going to bring me some money?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get enough views on, and again, that social media, Michael, it actually can pay people. Once you get past certain numbers, it starts to pay you. YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, even Facebook for that matter.
Yeah.
And you start to collect revenue.
It can be big money for people that have large followings as well. So not us, but, you know, anybody can get into it. But I you know, it's one of those things. It's, you know, statistically wise, it is akin to hitting the lottery. But again, you don't win the lottery if you don't play. And sometimes when you're doing something for the joy of it and the pure happiness of it, that's also kind of infectious. You know, it kind of gets out there and people get attracted to that. So yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's just a matter of selecting one of these things that you were doing, Jeff, and focusing on it, giving a little more attention than the other ideas, maybe. Hope that makes
follow
sense.
Your heart and follow what's feeling right, right?
Yeah. I think, I might have missed something, but Aaliyah is the last name I've seen in the chat.
I missed that one, so. All right, Aaliyah. I think that's the last card we have. I'll have to take a peek for myself. Aaliyah, you have number, 36. Number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended to you. Good card.
Well, we've got another major arcana here. Temperance. I always see that one as water. You know, it's that energy flowing, keeping that energy flowing. And the first thing that came to mind, Aaliyah, is kindness being gestured toward you. Not just you know, extending kindness, but when it comes to you. And I don't know, I kind of giggled to myself when I looked at this. You know, very often when people do some really nice things for me, I said, oh, no, you can't out-nice me. I will not be out-niced.
Can't let it happen.
So you give me muffins, I'm baking you cinnamon buns, you know? So, but when somebody gives you a compliment, it's to be gracious and to... you know, just very kindly say thank you, and not the, oh, you shouldn't have said that. No, I'm, you know, I don't look great today, because that negates the energy, and you want to keep the energy moving. So that's what I get from this, gratitude and temperance together. But also don't take it to heart if you're being kind to others and they don't react in a really good way.
Yeah.
You know, some people take advantage of that. Then you have to know value for value. And, you know, it's like call a friend three times, they don't call you. Well, don't call them anymore. You know, even something as simple as that, because it's a two-way street. And we can't especially in this day and age, invest our energy in places that's not accepted or valued. You know, it really is a value. Relationships have to be nurtured. All relationships. And so it's kind of like I saw a reel the other day, but a woman who happened to work for an airline got a call from a friend. She wasn't even invited to the friend's wedding, but the friend saying, "Oh, can you get us tickets to so-and-so?" She says, "Oh, I didn't even know you got married." No, I'm sorry, I can't do that anymore. And then somebody hung up. You know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. It happens out there. And, you know, I guess that's where, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, intellectual stuff lately, Michael. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to kind of make a shift here. And we live in such trying times that I want to remind people that there is goodness. And, I kind of did sometimes to get my steps in, I'll just go in a store and go up and down the aisles and look around. And I was in one store, it's HomeSense, in fact, and I got some new tea towels, but I was just looking around. All the staff were cold, nobody smiled, they wouldn't get out of the way when you turn a corner, they're putting stuff away, and they were snarky.
Yeah.
And I thought, whoa, this is one cold store. But I went to Nature's Fair because I was going to pick up some soup for lunch.
Right.
Everybody was so nice. You know, the people were smiling. And I thought, wow, what a difference, because you can feel the energy.
Sure.
And it goes a long way. But with... You know, if you have even a small circle of friends, you're doing great.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not a matter of, gee, how many friends do I have? It's what friends do I have?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, you know, your family or your spouse or your partner, and make sure that you're investing in that. You know, those are the most important people in your life. That's who you need when they're... You know, hits the fan.
That's right.
So, just a reminder.
Absolutely. And I like how you said it. Invest. It is an investment because you're putting your time and resources into a relationship. But I completely and wholeheartedly agree with you. You get 10 times back your investment in terms of the energy that you put into it, as long as it's with the right people. So, be wise and judicious when you're talking about the people that you're going to spend a huge chunk of your life with. But,
I've made a very clear decision, you know, in the last number of months, is I've never been one to tolerate cruelty anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if I sense the slightest bit of cruelty from people,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in their daily life or in politics,
mm-hmm.
I delete them.
Yeah.
There's no having a conversation with that. There's no talking about it. It's like you have to choose a side. What side are you going to be on?
Yeah,
and
no, I get it.
I'm not investing any energy into feeding the cruelty.
Right.
That's all. It's just a simple word, but it holds so much. It packs a punch. Cruelty. So if I sense that cruelty... I'm out.
Well, and that's the thing too, isn't it, is that, I think one of the most unfortunate at times things about humanity is that seemingly good people can participate and, you know, lend themselves to horrible things having happened in history, and it's usually because of systems of denial, I would say, and things like this. But, I mean, nobody thinks they're the bad guy, really. I mean, nobody really thinks they're the bad guy. Everybody thinks anything is excused based on this, that, or the other, right? So I completely get what you're saying, and I know life is a complicated mess, but I think we just fall back to the basic line of, you know, do right, right? Don't do no harm. That's the key point there, but go ahead.
I think there's a difference between somebody being scared and a bit of selfish, or because we've all felt some of that sometimes, I think.
Right.
You know, where... when we're young or we're naive or we, you know, you say something totally unintentional that gets right. taken a certain way.
Oh,
that's
for
not
sure.
what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but I also, you know.
Do no harm.
Right.
And do the right thing.
That's the thing, is that a lot of times people are dehumanized, right? Otherized.
Yeah.
And it kind of falls back to that tribal nature of humanity. And, you know, that's why we're trying to lift up that level of awareness, right? We're trying to get people thinking outside of that kind of, you know, old world kind of thinking and kind of move beyond tribalism, you know, in so far as we can. But, yeah,
I just like some right. basic civility, you know?
Yeah, but when has there ever been a heaping, overflowing amount of basic civility in the human race? Frankly, yeah. I know how you feel, but I'd say, frankly, and from a historic perspective, I'd say there's probably a good deal amount equal to or greater than the historic average. I mean, because just think about it. Yeah, you went out, you had some people that were rather rude at the one store, then you went to the, I think, more of a health food variety, and you had a lot more happy people, and that's, yeah, and I think it just varies. I think if you're getting bad vibes off a place, you don't have to put energy into it. Put energy into a place where you're getting good vibes and you're, you know, getting positive people and people focusing on kind of building up. But yeah, you know, you turn on the news and everything is horrible. And there are a lot of bad things. This would be an opportune time to say that, you know, my thoughts and your thoughts, Dr. Vicky, and I know all of our thoughts are with people that are, you know, undergoing horrendous damage and lost lives in Texas from flooding. But, you know, considering the average, you walk out, life is moving on. Kids are exploring. You know, people are still falling in love. Families are being formed. Good things happen all the time. And it can kind of get lost when you're in social media, when you're online, where you have an incentive to find conflict. You know, clicks. You know, what drives engagement? Conflict drives engagement. And unfortunately, that social media is starting to spill into the real world more and more. It's like we're shooting ourselves in our own foot. That was my two cents.
Well,
that's my soapbox right there.
And yet, I think some social media platforms give us more information than the general news. And I think it's important for us to stay awake and aware of what's happening. But choose your side.
Well, yeah, but also, and be judicious with your sources, too, because, again, I don't disagree with you necessarily, but I also know that if my first source of anything is from a social media account, I assume it's a lie or just wrong until I can verify it with another source. It doesn't have to be, you know, one of the, what you would call legacy news, but I think there is a lot of, you know, it's harder to find. It's usually print. Like, I've never watched news. I've never watched the 24/7. I don't watch nightly news. I read a lot. I read a lot of news magazines. I read a lot of articles. I read all kinds of stuff left and right. And I think the important thing is, you know, trust but verify. Don't just assume that just because somebody says something does not make it true. Especially as we enter this arena of AI, we are moving into an era where purely from what's online, fact and fiction are going to be inseparable when it comes to the amount of AI-generated news that can be brought in. You have all of the fake stuff that's already pervasive. And I know that everybody listening to this, everybody in the live chat, myself, you, Dr. Vicky, we all believe things to be true right now that are not true. That's just life. That's just stats.
Oh, you know? I don't know.
Well, okay, everybody except Dr. Vicky. Everybody except Dr. Vicky is subject to it's not even just humanity. It's just existence. And I think a lot of times people think people lie about stuff, and they do. But also, people are just wrong a lot about a lot of stuff. So, you know, again, I fall back to, and I know I can be a bit of a skeptic and a bit of a cynic, and I try to overcome that. But, you know, I go by the adage, most people are wrong about most things most of the time. It doesn't mean I have to be off by a lot, but I mean, I've learned through hard-learned lessons to verify and to double check and to not take things at face value all the time. I still fall prey to it.
I'm not meaning to be sound judgmental. It's not that.
You can judge me.
it's that, I don't know, it boils down to do no harm, do right.
Right.
It boils down to cruelty. I can tolerate a lot of things. I can be patient with a lot of things, and that some things I have zero tolerance and zero patience for.
Yeah.
You know, it's no. There are some things there's nothing I can do mm-hmm. about it. But I'll tell you what, though, if I see something, even in public, where someone is being cruel to a child or mm-hmm. to an animal, I'm sure. calling them out.
Well, yeah.
I'm
fierce. That's a given. You have to.
You know?
And, you know, again, you don't like the cruelty being visited on the animal or the child, but if I see somebody torturing or, you know, being cruel to either, I don't mind visiting some cruelty upon that person in terms of, you know, whatever it is.
You see, I'm old. I don't probably only have one good punch in me, so I'm going to make it a good one.
Yeah, that's why Chiron Mace.
But it's again, and I'm not promoting violence, people. But
disclaimer, asterisk.
Yeah, I know. Hey, it's again. There is kindness. That's what I want to say. It's, yeah. Please don't lose yourself in all of this stuff.
Right.
And it's feed those who are closest to you and know who your allies are mm-hmm. in life.
Yeah.
Know, you know, my old late teacher Frank would say, we only use our friends. And it's very true when you stop and think about it.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll also say, you know, as onto your disclaimer of nonviolence, I'll wholeheartedly agree and say that there's plenty of ways to nonviolently intervene in horrible situations and to do right. You know, there's a lot of ways in which to do good things in this life. And, you know, it's just up to us to figure out, you know, what path we're going to take. You know, how are we going to make our way through this interesting, chaotic mess of life? So,
you know, here's a situation. My neighbor died the other day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And lots of, well, I didn't know these people. But I knew he died, though, you know, all the cop cars and the ambulance mm-hmm. and the coroner. And yeah, okay. And finally, you know, commotion's dying down. Neighbors were all whispering.
Yeah.
And because we live in this cul-de-sac. And there's a cop sitting in the car. So I just went over and said, hey, did somebody die? He said, yeah. I said, the old guy? Yeah. Is the wife okay? Well, if you know her, she could probably use some company. And I said, well, the neighbor, Dennis, he'll be home soon. I'm going to give him a call. Now, yeah. I don't think it's my place to go over and say, oh, I'm glad to meet you.
But right.
What I could do is I could text Dennis. And he said, thank you for telling me. I'll be there as soon as I get home. And he went straight over there right away, helping her out, taking her to her doctor's appointments. And you know, it gives him something to do, but it's where we can play a part. That's all.
Right.
My other neighbor texted me and said, well, did you find out what happened? I said, no, I didn't ask because I don't think it's my place to ask.
Right.
Look, the guy was like in his 80s, old age is old age, but it's not my business. But if we can lend a hand, I was fairly sure mm-hmm. Dennis knew them really well and he'd be the guy. Well, in fact, he was. So they were driving to an appointment. I happened to be outside. I got to meet Josephine, and Dennis thanked me very much. And I said, well, you're in good hands with Dennis. She goes, oh, he's been a godsend to me, taking me to my appointments, talking for me when I can't talk. And, you know, I'm sorry this has happened to you. I wish we met under different circumstances. But if you need anything and Dennis isn't around, knock on my door, you know?
Right.
And it's like even those small gestures, you could see how much that meant to both of them. Now, I'm not blowing my own horn here. I think it was the right thing to do. And doing the right thing doesn't mean we need accolades for that.
No.
It's a small thing, because I may not be able to help, but I know somebody who can. And that, even that small part can be monumental for others. So know that right. when we're a good bridge,
right.
be the bridge.
Oh, yeah. Little acts can go a long way, and a lot of times it can come back to you, too. You know, again, you don't do it for the accolades. You don't do it about what it's going to do for you. But, you know, you have to think about, do I want to live in a world where we're all kind of looking out for each other and trying to help each other out? Or do I want to live in a dog-eat-dog world where everybody's out for their own? And I don't even know why that's an expression, because, you know, dogs tend to help out one another. So, but, you know, this has been, you know, a wonderful discussion, and we have so many things that we can get into. Oh, God. These nights where we don't really have a topic in mind tend to be some of the and most interesting conversations we have.
I agree.
But
unless, of course, it's Dr. Douglas Kelly, because he's always top priority.
Oh, for sure.
I know he's listening. That's why I said that.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm sure he
listens to these? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But,
you know, it's been great to talk to you, and I am, you know, so glad that we're having Wendy on next week. That'll be so much fun.
Oh, it's gonna be good
love
stuff.
Wendy. She's the greatest.
Absolutely. See if we can't find some patterns in life and existence. So, yeah, it's going to be good stuff next week. Please join us. You know, it's been a great chat tonight. We covered a lot. It's been good points. So I appreciate you, Dr. Vicky, and thank you to everybody that joined in the chat. Thank you for throwing your two cents in. Always appreciate it. But, as we kind of start to sign off, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
Yeah, don't let them push you around out there, folks.
There you go.
That's all.
All right, I'll say the same. And, just do no harm, do right. So
absolutely.
Can't wait to join with Wendy next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Happy full moon.